You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's simply at Joe Kilgallen. Give this podcast a follow as well. That is at Locked On Cubs. Oh, baby, do I got a fun game to recap for you, huh? The Chicago Cubs win in walk-off fashion against the Cincinnati Reds on a beautiful, actually pretty humid, actually, Monday night at Wrigley Field. A lot of off-the-field stuff to talk about in the regards of a trade that went down. Yes, the Cubs have made a move. Hopefully, it'll be official for your morning commute. I am recording this, of course, late on Monday night. It is not official as of yet. But pretty much all the reliable sources, including the Cubs' own television broadcast, have mentioned that a trade seems to have been made between the Chicago Cubs and the Oakland Athletics. I'll get into the details of that a little bit later. Also, wow, what a fun ending. As some of you may know, Javier Baez and Amir Garrett have a bit of a history, and it came down to a little showdown at the end of the game. Cubs had the bags juiced, needing just a run to win the game. And here comes Javi. It's Javier Baez's music, almost like WWE style, because Javi did not start the game. So when Javi started strutting out to that batter's box, fans got a little bit like, yes, I feel it. Almost like that glass shattering. If you guys are Stone Cold Steve Austin fans from back in the day, feels weird to say Stone Cold Steve Austin is a wrestler from back in the day. He still feels like Stone Cold, right? It's fresh. And boy, did Javi deliver. I'll talk about that and how he delivered. And how I thought there was going to be some fireworks, like not literal fireworks. We don't do that on the north side, but like, you know, some fisticuffs, you know, a little brawl, perhaps. Are you going to walk it off? Well, now we're going to fight it off. That's what I thought was going to happen, because there is some bad blood. You know, and I'm not just talking about the Taylor Swift song between Amir Garrett and one Javi Baez. So we'll talk about that and some other fun stuff, too. Some things to look forward to in the second half. We are counting down to the trade deadline, which is why I must remind you right now, everyone, that this episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB, because Locked On MLB's YouTube channel will be covering the MLB trade deadline, streaming the hot stove live for 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup. I might be popping on there, since you guys know me with being the Locked On Cubs expert. So subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in July 30th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So a lot going on in the air. A lot of, you know, the atmosphere around Wrigley is kind of like one of these things where it's like, at any moment now, is this going to be the final goodbye for a Chris Bryant, an Anthony Rizzo, a Javi Baez? Who's next? Is it going to be Dirty Craig? Craig Kimbrel? Well, it was none of those four I just named, the four big trade chips, but it's trade chip number 5. And then is one Andrew Chafin, the sheriff, the Cubs' left-handed setup man who's had a fantastic season, a phenomenal year, has been traded to the Oakland Athletics. Now, it's not official as of the time I'm talking about this, but I feel like it's pretty much done deal. The names have been mentioned. Oakland media is covering it. Chicago media, national media has been covering it. That the Cubs have, it seems like, the big piece back. Two young players are going, but the one name that seems more definitive as of right now, again, you're listening to this on your morning commute, you very much know more than I do as of right now. His name is Greg Deckman. He is 26, so it's a little old for a AAA outfielder, a minor league player. 26 is a little bit on the older side, but I must remind everyone out there that a lot of minor league players are older because there was no minor league season last season. And the year 2020, the pandemic swallowed up a year of development for a lot of really talented minor league baseball players, Greg Deckman being one of them. Now, Deckman was a second-round pick in 2017. He played college ball, so he was drafted at the age of 22. And he's progressed the way you would. He played high A ball in 2018. Then he was in double A in 2019. There was no season in 2020. And he's been in triple A this year, where he has a .300 batting average. He also has a .434 on base percentage. So again, those are some really good numbers right there. His power rates as a 70, which is super high. It's on a 20 to 80 scale that these scouts use. Fangraphs is really high on his power. I mean, he hits the ball hard. All of the Statcast numbers, the exit velo, you know, telling you how hard the ball comes off a player's bat. Love this guy. It just hasn't really showed up. So hopefully the Cubs could unlock a little bit of something, but he plays a great left field, a great right field. So he could handle both corner spots and first base, they've been saying. I don't know where he projects. He could be just a fourth outfielder for the Cubs. And if that's the case, that's still a good trade for a setup reliever. It seems like most people who follow the Cubs and follow prospects across Major League Baseball think this is a good get for the Cubs. Here is his batting line. He's hitting 300 even, 432 on base, like I said, slugging 449. That's a 127 weighted runs created plus and 257 plate appearances for AAA Las Vegas. I am now finding it interesting that the Oakland Athletics are trying to move to Las Vegas. I don't know if it's officially going to happen. Last I heard, it's almost a done deal. I know they had a vote recently, so sorry I'm not up to date on that. And yet their AAA team plays there. So where's the AAA team going to go? Reno? Maybe. I bet Reno already has a minor league team, though. I just realized this guy is going from playing in Vegas every day to playing in Des Moines. Talk about an upgrade. Am I right, Des Moines listeners? Right? You get to hear all about how it's not pronounced Des Moines. It's Des Moines. Let's go. Go out to the Des Moines Funny Bone. Catch some good comedy shows. I've had fun in Des Moines. It's a good town. I don't know if it's Vegas, though. What's the pool scene like in Des Moines? You guys got babes in pools? I like to when I go to Vegas, I've been in a while, I'd go with two different groups of friends. One group is all about the gambling. The other group was, let's get drunk by the pool. Both are good. You got to have that mix, the yin and yang. You got to have that balance. But I am a very pasty gentleman, so I don't go shirtless in the pool. I remember going for football season. It was a Sunday, so I got the swim trunks on. I'm rocking a Bears Forte navy blue jersey. I sit legs in the pool, so I'm sitting poolside. So it looks like I'm a fun guy in the pool, but I'm not really in the pool. My legs are just in the pool. Then I get the hair wet. So I get a handful of water and kind of throw it up on the hair, get it wet, throw some shades on. So I'm rocking shades, beer in hand, Bears jersey. Right away, people are like, this guy's from Chicago. This guy's awesome. It's a good guy to be. You know, I'm married, so I'm wearing the wedding ring. But I'm also telling all the other women out there, hey, this is a safe spot. Chicago people are awesome. My friends are single. You want to talk to them? And then everyone's having a good time. And then they come over with their bucket of beer, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get one. They go, no, you don't need to. Here, have one of ours. Like, oh, thank you very much. But really, I knew that was going to happen. I didn't really want to get up to get one. But you say that, and then people feel the need to be like, oh, no, you can just have one of ours. But if I would have just asked, if I would be like, hey, can I get one of yours? Then they're like, sure. But then their brains are like, look at this cheap guy. Huh? I don't want to party with some cheapo. All right, back to the action. The Cubs started off the game up 2-0 quick. Chris Bryant gets an infield single. Anthony Rizzo goes deep. Wasn't deep, a couple rows up, 411 feet, 107 miles an hour off the bat. Anthony Rizzo homering for the second time in as many games, hitting a few now. I believe he's got three in his last five games. Power stroke looking good, back looking healthy. He had a couple hits, OPS now nearing 800. I predicted Anthony Rizzo would have an 850 OPS for the season before the year began. I had a bet with someone, and I apologize for not remembering their name, but I've got the screenshot saved somewhere. I don't know what we bet. Was it like $50? He might still finish with that. Still a lot of baseball left to play. Will he finish with that in a Cubs uniform? I'm not sure. Buster Olney last night on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball said that he believes Rizzo to the Red Sox is very likely. He thinks they need a first baseman. He helps their defense. Veteran bat, veteran presence. Not afraid of October. He's been there. They need a left-handed bat, too, to kind of balance their lineup out a little bit. And they're not getting much production out of first base at all. So Anthony Rizzo would be an upgrade for them. If he goes anywhere, I'd be happy with him going there. Of course, Cubs fans, you know I'm a big Rizzo guy. So, ideally, you don't want to see him anywhere but in Cubs blue. But the idea of Rizzo catching the final out in a Boston Red Sox uniform as they win a World Series, I'm okay with that. I know they've won enough World Series, but I'm still okay with that. It's Anthony Rizzo. They drafted him. He was drafted as an 18-year-old out of high school, sixth round of the 2007 draft. I know some of you are thinking, wow, he was a sixth-round draft pick. Wow, he turned out great. Three-time All-Star, four or five Gold Gloves, World Series winner, top five MVP voter in 2015 and 2016. Man, whoever drafted him must have been a genius. They were. He was. Theo Epstein. He's not dead. I don't know why I said was. Like, he's not still a very smart guy. He is. And speaking of one of his last draft picks, Brennan Davis continues to rake. Just phenomenal what's happening with that guy right now. He is going to be a consensus top 10 prospect at the start of next season. I wouldn't be surprised if he cracked the top five in a few different publications. So be on the lookout for that, Cubs fans. Rock Auto, everybody. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? You know, they're all like, hey, what's going on with that? What's the VIN number on that? And you're like, dude, I don't know. What would you do that? I'm here for you. You find out. Well, if I was an expert, I wouldn't be going to you. Right? You ever have that with the exchanges with those employees? It gets to be annoying. So save time and money and use Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers like you for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get the shag, everyone. Bring it back, 70s. So here's what you want to do. You want to go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write locked on in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, back to the action here, everybody. The Cubs then, you know, David Bodie drives in a run. You know, that we're up, but then Kyle Hendricks just was not as sharp. He was not the Kyle Hendricks we've grown to expect. Oh, I'm sorry. I've just got a breaking news. My phone just, and then it dies. How do you like that? Unbelievable. Hold on. I got breaking news from MLB.com. They add it is announced. The A's have announced they have acquired Chafin in exchange for Deckman and minor league right-hander Daniel Palencia, I believe is how you pronounce that. I don't really know anything about him as of yet, other than he is 21 years old. He's Venezuelan, which is where Adbert's from. Let's see. Statistically speaking, he is in A ball right now in Stockton. Ooh, 6.91 earned run average. He's a starter. See, there's a lot of strikeouts at least. 14 innings, 14 Ks. That's okay. I don't know. I need a whole real scouting report on the guy right now before I can give you anything accurate. You're not expecting to get Ranger Chafin, you're not expecting to get back like, oh, he's going to slot right into the rotation. I don't see that happening, you know? But anyway, so that's the update there. If I get any more reports on what type of player he is, I will let you know. Let me check one thing real quick here, everyone. Bear with me. This isn't a live show, and I probably should edit this part out later, but who has time for that, right? Okay. Well, we'll find out later. Okay. Anyway, though. So, yeah, there's a bit of a back and forth. Hendricks was just not as sharp. He didn't have it. He gives up home run to Votto. He gave up some hard hit balls. You know, his stuff just is not nearly as crisp as it has been lately. Still love what you get out of Kyle Hendricks. Don't get me wrong. And on a positive note, Jed Hoyer was asked about whether or not he's shopping Hendricks, and he was pretty emphatically like, no, we are not actively shopping him at all. He's still part of our plans. Of course, we listen to offers on anybody. So that means if we're wowed, if some team just absolutely goes, we'll give you this, 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 and this, and there are players that we're all like, really? For real? That's what you're going to give us? Yeah. Okay, we'll do it. But for the most part, do not expect Kyle Hendricks to be moved, which I think is a good thing. It holds to what Jed Hoyer was saying about how this is not going to be a rebuild like the Cubs went through 2012 through 2014. All right, Wilson Contreras hits a home run in the eighth inning to make the score of the game 5-5. It was a nice bomb from Willie, who on the year is having an okay enough season for a catcher. He's still on pace, probably hit about 20 home runs or so. He's got 16 now. Yeah, he's probably closer to 25 home runs, which is nice. I was surprised to see his batting average is still around .239. Again, though, above average production and the way he handles the pitching staff, I still am a huge Wilson Contreras fan. He's really turning himself into a leader, of course. I still believe he should have not gone right to the press with that, though. That's just my opinion. And then here, I got to set the moment though. I'm not setting it up enough. There was some questionable stuff from manager David Ross, though. We were surprised to see Kimbrel in there because, you know, the word is that he's going to be the next one moved. So why risk anything with him, especially in a 5-5 tie? Maybe manager David Ross is just like, I really want to win this game. I want to win it. And as long as he's on my roster, I'm going to use him. Manager David Ross was quoted earlier saying that he can't wait for August 1st because then no more trade rumors. He doesn't have to hear about it, listen to it, have it as a distraction anymore. So maybe he's kind of forcing their hand a little bit. Like, hey, pull the trigger, which I don't know if that's the case. I'm obviously speculating here for the sake of fun conversation. You'd hope that wasn't it because it's like, David, don't hurt his trade value. But we didn't. He pitched out of a mighty fine jam, which if I'm a team that's looking for a stud reliever, I want a guy who could get in and out of jams. Not in him. You don't want him in him. I said that wrong. But you want a guy who could get out of it. And he wasn't quite the jam. And then he strikes out the side to get out of it. Lowering his ERA to 0.49. Are you kidding me? Craig Kimbrel, Dirty Craig, future Hall of Famer, 8-time All-Star. It cannot be said enough that both Craig Kimbrel and Yu Darvish were both Theo Epstein signings that the Cubs fan base was like, what a failure. And we just judged way too quickly. Way too quickly. Think about it. They're both bad for about a year and a half of their service with the Cubs. Kimbrel's first season was about half a season and was horrible. Then the pandemic year in which he was only bad for the first like couple weeks and then he really settled in and then he's been unbelievable. Maybe his best season in his career, a career that's Hall of Fame bound. I'm not exaggerating when I say that he is a Hall of Famer. So, and then Yu Darvish, of course, same thing. So I guess when you sign people to multi-year deals, you really don't want to judge them too strongly in the first year. And there must be something about playing at Wrigley and being a Chicago Cub that I think some guys just get off to slow starts with us. Moises Alou, slow start. Soriano, I remember, got a slow start, but then he kind of tore it up in the second half that season. John Lester got off to a slow start his first few months. And then they just kind of settle in and then they go lights out. The only guy I can remember kind of a free agent signing, I should say, that really just tore it up from Jump Street was Ben Zobrist in that first season with the Cubs. He had a really, really strong 2016. So, yeah, I mean, it's different for different people. But looking back, both Darvish and Kimbrel are all-stars in the year 2021. So it goes to show you, just because they're off to a bad start doesn't mean you just sign off the whole thing. That's another one of those things where I look back on this era and people put Darvish and Kimbrel in the bad signings category that you have now taken out of the bad signings category. So go figure, right? Hendricks' line was 4 1/3, 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. ERA up to 3.85, still respectable. I'd expect it to be closer to around 3.10 by the end of the season. Morgan did his job. Brothers looked really strong, actually. Maybe he gets dealt to someone. And again, don't expect anything big for Rex Brothers back. Thompson impressed me because he had bases loaded, nobody out, gets out of the jam. Unscathed. Love to see it. His ERA is at 2.21. All right, let's just get to the fireworks, huh? Patrick Wisdom draws a walk. And then who got on base in between that? I'm sorry, everybody. Nico Horner gets on base. He got hit by a pitch. That loaded the bases. Bodie also drew a walk. So then you have the bases loaded for one Javi Baez. Now, I know I told you he came in and everyone's like, it's Javi. He hits a first pitch from Amir Garrett. Now, I got to give the background. In case you guys forget, Amir Garrett and Javier Baez almost came to blows earlier this season. There was an incident in which Amir Garrett struck out Rizzo and started barking at Rizzo as Rizzo was walking away. And Rizzo took it like, just, yeah, you got me. All right. And Javi didn't like it, though. Javi jumped out of the thing and just started yelling right back at him, which, again, kind of reminds you that these guys do like each other. You know, I know there's been a lot of speculation about the Cubs clubhouse. I almost said the Cubs clubhouse, which is kind of fun too, about whether or not they've all been getting along. You know, was Rossi too hard on Javi? I think Javi responded in kind though, because you know you got to manage different personalities in a different way. David Rossi yanked Javi Baez from that game, and since then Javi's been on fire. I think maybe David, if you're a smart manager, you know which players you need to push in a certain way. Some players, though, you do a move like that and then they get worse. So you got to know the personalities. I know there's a lot of fans who are like, oh, if you did that with this guy, you got to do that with everyone. I go, well, that's just, there's not a single managerial book that would tell you how to do that in any form of, you know, running a team, coaching, or being a teacher or a business, running a company. You can't do it that way. And it's something with parenting. You know, certain kids you got to like discipline and be strong with, and other kids you're like, I got to more positive reinforcement with you. That's what you respond to. It's about knowing personalities is basically my point. So he went after Amir Garrett. They had to separate him. Benches cleared a little bit. There's a great, it was a meme for a while of Mike Moustakas holding back Javi, and Javi's like kind of over him, giving the, you know, flipping the bird. That's the middle finger, everyone, to Amir Garrett. It got, you know, and Amir Garrett's been a guy that Rizzo got a problem with in the past. Schwarber did. He's just a guy. He's an agitator. You know, I don't mind people being like excited about stuff and all that kind of thing, but it seems like you better be a better player than you've been, Amir Garrett, if you're going to run your mouth like that. And you know, Javi was just jonesing to get this guy. He wanted to walk it off against him so badly. So he hits a deep fly ball, lands over his head. So it would have been a double off the wall, but they only count it as a single and a walk-off scenario because you only get to first base and then everyone jumps up and down. It's fun. Javi, though, did he ever take his time getting on to first base? He's barking right at Amir. He did kind of like a thing with the bat as if he was like rowing a boat. I hope a reporter asked him about what that exact motion was. It was cool, though. Then he kind of flips the bat out towards, not like towards Amir, like to hit him, but like, you know, in the infield grass, enough where Amir went to go grab it, and the umpire was like, let's not. And Amir was starting to bark at some other stuff, and Javi is just taking his time. Contreras is even kind of pushing him along a little bit. I can't wait to hear the post-game thoughts on this from Javi and Wilson and everyone else involved, because it was pretty cool. I'm like, he's going to start a brawl afterwards? You know, I alluded to that a little bit earlier, but I'm like, is this really going to happen? It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. BetOnline, everybody. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. Trades are happening. And you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. NBA and NHL are not happening anymore. I don't know why I keep saying that in the read, but it's written, so I say it. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your cell phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You're going to love the site. Trust me on that. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as your teams prep for their playoff runs. That is not going to be us. Head over to the website or your cell phone and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. I will say that again because it's a fantastic deal. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Can't beat it. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. All right, Cubs fans, some other notes. Justin Steele was starting in Iowa last night. I did not get the news on his final line, but he was touching 98 miles per hour, which is almost more important. I expect Justin Steele to be in the starting rotation first week of August at the big league level. And a lefty, I already know his secondary stuff is pretty nasty, but a lefty who's throwing 98, ooh, baby, that is something to get excited about. See, these are the storylines we're going to have to watch for as Cubs fans to keep it interesting for us these final 2 months of the 2021 season. Because if he turns out to be a guy, someone that you trust in that 2022 rotation, all right, now things are getting interesting. That's someone you could add with Adbert and Kyle. Because right now, Hendricks and Alzolay are the two guys who are definitely going to be in the 2022 rotation that you feel confident with. You know, Hendricks is a top of the rotation arm. Adbert has showed the stuff of a top of the rotation arm. Not there yet. And if Justin Steele's throwing 98 from the left side with that breaking ball, all right, I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. Because then you could give Keegan Thompson a look. You could give someone else a look. And then all of a sudden, hey, there's some cheap internal options right there. Not going to cost us too much. Braylon Marquez won't be too far off either. Braylon Marquez was the Cubs' top prospect heading into this season. He's still a top 50 prospect in most lists as of last week when I read the top 100s. He had COVID, so that set him back. And then they didn't want to rush him. And then he had like an arm strain thing or nothing too serious, but in one of the serious enough where it's like, we're not going to really rush you or risk anything or mess around. Mainly because Braylon Marquez, again, he's only just turned 21, young guy. He tops out at 102 miles per hour as a starter. that's special right there. And with pitching, as long as you have control, they'll call you up. You know, with hitters, with their development, you kind of want to see X amount of at-bats at each level. You know, you want to get a real good sense, a sample size across the different levels of minor league baseball to really know what you got. Pitching, though, 100 miles an hour is 100 miles an hour. It plays at every level. Where, like, again, a hitter, a guy could have 25 home runs in double A and then go up to triple A. Well, usually more talented double A, but go up to the bigs and just be not good. Doesn't always translate the same way because you're hitting double A pitching versus hitting major league pitching. But if you could throw 100 at double A, you could throw 100 at major league. You know what I mean? It's a completely different way to judge a prospect. So again, if Justin Steele turns out to be someone you're confident in putting in the 2022 rotation, that opens up a lot of possibilities, especially for a team that should have plenty of money to spend. You go out and get like a Kevin Gausman, a Marcus Stroman. Even Max Scherzer is something I really like because Scherzer is 37 and he's still pitching at an elite level. He is a top five pitcher in the National League. Well, Joe, why do you want to sign some old man? Because he'll only be like a 2-3 year deal tops, probably a 2-year deal. And you could sell him on the fact that, hey, every ball player should play in Wrigley before their career is over with. Come on, we're looking to compete. We got a lot of young pitchers who could learn from you. You're going to love the city. You're going to love the ballpark. The fan base is going to go crazy for you, Max. Let's go. Sign to Chicago. We're going to give you a fair offer. We might not be the top offer out there, but we're going to be up there. Or just make it the top offer. Why not be the top offer? Why not? We're the Cubs. We got money to spend. We got a big wallet, hopefully. We're all hoping we do this season. Another player I wanted to give a shout out to is Robinson Chirino. What a story. The Cubs signed him as a 17-year-old out of Venezuela in the year 2000. He got all the way up to AAA for the Cubs. He was part of the Matt Garza deal, along with Chris Archer, to the Tampa Bay Rays. And he's had a nice, solid MLB career. Been a backup catcher the last few seasons. And he hit a couple home runs. He's had 3 home runs already. It's like, finally, the backup catcher spot has been solved, and I hope the Cubs bring him back next year as well. You know, he's a fellow countryman to both Wilson Contreras and Adbert Alzolay. I kind of like that. I like when players have stuff in common with one another. He's got a great attitude. Seems to be, in the dugout pumping up his teammates. Love to see that. And another veteran presence for a young starting rotation and a young pitching staff top to bottom. Bullpen and rotation is going to be fairly young these next few seasons. So, yeah, bring him on by. And if he turns out he's not going to cost much. And if, you know, come June, July, he's not really hitting, Miguel Amaya will be ready by then. I still believe Wilson Contreras and extension seems like the right move. And then if Amaya's really killing it and say, like, we're a piece away, that's what I really want the Cubs to do. A lot of fans are like, we have too many holes to compete in 2022. No, I don't buy that. Fill the holes how you can. Aim to be competitive in 2022 because maybe some players will play better than you think. And then all of a sudden, come July 26th, like we're dealing with right now, July 27th, we're a team that could make a splash trade to put us over the top for a deep October run. Like a lot of teams do that. You don't need to go into the season with a perfect roster. So that's something that you got to look out for, too. If we extend Contreras this upcoming offseason and Miguel Amaya is tearing it up, what's the point? Miguel Amaya is knocking on the door of Major League Baseball. You trade him for some star who's going to push you over the top in 2022 for a deep October run. See, this is the kind of optimism I want to bring everybody, right? We got to think positively like that. That's what makes being a Cubs fan fun. All right, everyone, these next few days will be interesting. Again, I'm going to the game Wednesday night. I'll be sitting in the bleachers. If you want to come say hello, hopefully you're cool and you're a fan. You're not going to come up and be like, hey, you suck. Anyway, hopefully Rizzo and Bryant and Baez are still there. Look, we love these players. I especially love what Javi did today and Rizzo and everyone. Just, it's a great win. And even though it's a season in which it's a very, very unlikely we make the playoffs, it's nice. It's nice to win a ball game on a beautiful night in the great city of Chicago. All right, Cubs fans, Locked On Cubs fans, you guys are amazing. Thanks for checking out the podcast. And as always, go Cubs. Locked On Bets, everybody. Betting on the NBA, MLB, or NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.